If you've pushed aside money for years, only to find yourself mid-40s with a toddler and almost no safety net, where do you even begin? That's exactly the problem in today's mailbag from a single mum at 46, just a few dollars able to be saved each week, and big fears about whether poverty at 70 is now unavoidable. Now look, I don't think the worst case scenario is ever a done deal. Just sometimes you have more or less options. So let's figure out what they are. Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the answers about what's happening in the money world right now. And a wee reminder before we get into this, of course, we are answering a letter here, but we don't know the full financial situation, just what's in the letter. So it's general financial information. For individual financial advice, you will need to see a financial advisor. Making Sense has partnered up with EnableMe to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today. So, Shelley Parman, strategic coach at EnableMe, in the hot seat today. Are you ready for the letter?
I'm ready for the letter, Frances.
All right, here we go. Hi, Frances. I've been binging on your podcasts. They're great. I learn a lot, really help with my mindset. I am wondering if you can do a podcast for those of us with a big, fat butt. I'm one of the really broke ones, and perhaps I need specific help, but I'm thinking I need some cold, hard numbers to aim for before poverty at 70 kicks in and there's no way out. Now, broke has happened because I am a single mum to a three-year-old at 46, mostly due to living life as a non-commercial artist, and money and capitalism were the antithesis. I'm working part-time, will be sitting at current level of barely spending anything, just saving $35 a week until she goes to school in a year and a half. Then I can take the leap into working more and not relying on the government, thank goodness for our welfare. But I want to be ready for that moment, mentally and careerly. So what are the cold, hard numbers to aim for to avoid serious poverty? What are the options that I should bother aiming for? Is home ownership viable, or should I even waste my time dreaming? Due to rarely having a jobby job, I only have $12,000 in KiwiSaver, but I do have $20 a week going in there still. What great words of wisdom could you share with us mums who have single tax, mum tax, and follow your heart tax? It would be great to imagine that it's not just dire and there is something worth focusing on. The will is strong, but also being there for my daughter is massive. So pep talk required. Thanks for listening. I love this letter because she's really laying it all out there. Full credit to her. She's really taking ownership of the situation and how she got there.
Brutal honesty.
Yeah.
She's very aware.
Very
aware.
Which
is a good starting point.
Yeah. So mid-40s, got a toddler, working part-time, kind of stuck in that until the kid goes to school. Someone like this walks into your office. Where are you starting?
I picked up a couple of times the word poverty in there, and I want her to be really, really careful about the languaging that she uses, because when you're talking about poverty and you're coming from a place of fear, mm-hmm. and mindset's going to be super, super important for her in terms of what she needs to do next. So stop using the word poverty. Start thinking, I've got this, I can do this. That empowerment's going to be crucial for her on these next steps that she needs to take.
It is funny that, isn't it? Because I talk about money mindset with people a lot, and I think people can feel like it's a bit woo. I get that. I have a really strong anti-woo kickback, pushback mentally. Anytime I feel something's a bit woo, I'm like, and I can feel myself do it. And yet the mindset I don't think is woo, because it is, you are not going to look for solutions. You are not going to be willing to try things, embrace them. Mm-hmm. If you are in the wrong headspace, you're not even going to be open to some of the things that could really help, right?
100%. And that word open to opportunity. So we call it a poverty or scarcity mindset. So that's why I picked up on the word poverty. So when you have a poverty mindset, you're very fearful. You know, as a mum, security is important because you want to be able to provide a safe and stable home for your kid. And so that's really important, but it can also be the thing that holds you back. So the more you become aware of opportunity, and you have that openness in your mind, you can take those opportunities as they arise. If you're operating out of a base of fear, you're going to be closed off.
And then she's mentioned there about sort of minimum targets to aim for, and not to use the P word again, but minimum targets to avoid living a very hard life when you're older. And then also maybe do we know even overall for having a good life? Like, what are some of the targets we should be thinking about when we're thinking seriously about those retirement years?
So I would say to her, sit down and start to build a vision. It's really, really important for her to visualize. I'm going to get a little bit more woo-woo here, Frances, and talk about manifestation. For her, I want her to really sit down and think, where do I want to be long term? What is that little cottage by the sea? You know, start to paint the picture visually in her mind, because the more that she can actually, she's an artist, right? So she can even paint a picture of this beautiful little cottage by the sea or whatever she's aiming for. So because she's got this in her mind, and the more she looks at it and pop it on the fridge or, you know, have it front and foremost, this is what you're aiming for as your ultimate landing. Because the more she can visualize that, the more she's going to be thinking of, I was speaking to this person the other day and their mum has this gorgeous little cottage, deceased estate in the north somewhere, you know, and you start to, it comes to life and you bring it to life. But until you have that goal and you're starting to visualize that goal, we don't know what we're shooting for. So no matter how much you save, where do you need to land?
And there's actually, I file manifestation under the old woo but true. Because there's heaps of science behind it. There is only so much you can focus on throughout the day. There's so much that's happening. And when you do have those goals front and center, it impacts the things that you notice throughout the day.
It's like when you buy a red car and then you start seeing red cars.
How do you start working out some of those numbers and the different tactics that could work for your own situation?
Once you understand where you're headed and what you're aiming for, then we start to put your numbers around that. What would that house cost? And then you start to do the work back. How many years do I have? What's my runway? And you start to build this financial plan from that point. But until you've got that point, what are you doing it for? You need to start to do some number crunching about living costs as well, because of course we need to buy said property. Or if you don't buy it, at least you need to have enough money to rent it. So either way, we have to accommodate ourselves somewhere. And what am I going to need to live on? And then how long do you have the runway? And so for her, yes, she started late in terms of her having children. And so that's put her back in terms of she's going to have the costs associated with raising her daughter, you know, for a long time. So in all likelihood, she may need to work a little bit past age 65. You know, I think she might need to make peace with that. You know, we need to think about, well, what is her runway? Is she happy to work to age 70? Okay, she's 46. How many years does that give us? And then we think, if we need to get to here in terms of the buying or the renting of that property, plus your costs to live in said property, we can then start to calculate and divide that by the number of years we have in our runway. To give her a little bit of specific guidance around numbers, because I know she was keen to kind of really start to understand what are my savings targets. Massey University do some quite detailed research into what it might cost people to live in this country, and they break it down per person. Their guideline is that you would need, for a no-frills lifestyle, around about $35,000 per year in retirement. And that doesn't include paying for accommodation. So you think you either need to have a mortgage-free home or you need to have enough to be able to rent when you don't want to work anymore. You can do the calculation on that. Over and above that, we need to find $10,000 between the pension, the NZ Super, if we're lucky enough to receive it at that age, and what it's likely to cost you to live even a no-frills lifestyle.
And so for that, we're probably thinking some sort of income-producing assets. Are we thinking, you know, she might need to be ramping up the KiwiSaver more or looking at shares? An investment property is probably too much of a stretch.
At the moment, I think investment property is out of her realm because she doesn't have a deposit. Mm. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, you do not have to follow the system that frankly doesn't really work that well anymore in this country. It may not be that she ends up owning her own home, and that's okay. We just need to calculate the numbers around that specifically for her. So her options are popping money into the bank, into a savings account. Probably not the best in terms of returns. Your money is likely to go backwards. Options around, investing in shares. And for her, we're wanting growth because she does actually have quite a long runway. Like, she's 46. And if she could work to sort of 66, we're talking 20 years, which in investing, you know, timeframes is quite long. So she can be going fairly aggressive in terms of her portfolio, but we want to make sure that she is very diversified. So in the meantime, however, I would actually, for her being self-employed, she's not getting the matching with her KiwiSaver from her employer. So the $20 a week is good. She's getting the government contribution, which is around for now. We don't know for how long.
Yeah. They keep cutting it back.
The thing is, with continuing to contribute more into KiwiSaver, there's a risk around that money being trapped all the way to age 65. She can't access that, but she might want choices around doing that investment property. So in the meantime, she could be working to build up a beautiful diversified investment fund, say, for example, to get her to the point where it grows really nicely so that in X number of years, she could actually get on the property ladder but get some tenants paying rent. So potentially it could be in a more affordable area for her and she rents where it makes sense in terms of her daughter and schooling and her work and where she wants to be with her community.
Yeah, maybe rent later. Vesting.
Rent vesting, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
We love it. Got an episode on that.
Not so fun fact. When you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at EnableMe specialize in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me.
You mentioned about, the home ownership. That's so much of our retirement system is predicated on the idea that you will have a house and it will be paid off and that's where you will live. More and more, that is not the reality for everyone. But if she's wanting to make that the reality for her, you know, she says, is home ownership possible? I think there's lots of different options, right? We tend to sort of think of the standard 3-bedroom house with a garden. And even when you have a child, I don't think that needs to be the only one, right?
No, and that has been the Kiwi dream, right, for a number of years. But it's becoming less and less so, and people are adapting really, really quickly to the different types of home ownership. So a lot of people are living in apartments. A lot of people are living in, you know, a minor dwelling, an cute little studio garden flat, something like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the $1 million 3-bedroom with a piece of land. You know, there's other ways around this. And one of my tips is, you know, find me your ideal home. Specifically, you know, if it's something in the $700,000 mark, you need as a minimum as a first home buyer, 10%. Mm-hmm. So we need to find $70,000 as a deposit on the basis that the bank will lend you the rest. So thinking about her income levels, what she might need to earn to get that level of lending, and how much those earnings and how long it would take her to get to that $70,000, and break that down into achievable bite-sized savings targets so you feel like you're progressing towards your goal.
Yeah.
And I go back again to what I was saying earlier about having that vision, having that goal, because when you have this vague notion of, I want to be a homeowner, yep, okay, let's break that down. Where would you like to be a homeowner? What would that cost you? You know, how much do you need to earn to get there? You know, break it down, bring it into practical terms.
It's very true. And I think, you know, your point there about, you know, the numbers getting a bit intimidating, and I don't think that should hold you back because, you know, as she says, she's got a year and a half before her daughter hits school. She's making her plans. She's clearly motivated. She's feeling ready to go on this. To have a year and a half of that runway, that gives you time to keep an eye on the sales prices of houses in the areas that you're interested in, what's costing you more, what's costing you less in your own budget at home. And then when your daughter does go to school, you can hit that ground running and you're like, right, I know exactly what I'm aiming for. To me, that's very motivating. To me, that's very empowering. I would hope that would be for her too. I mean, have you seen other clients in this situation who have turned things around in that manner?
Definitely, definitely. And when the daycare ends, that is like an instant pay rise.
Yes.
So I think for her, I want to start talking specifically around systems because no matter how little the habit, we lean on James Clear and his wisdom in Atomic Habits around habit stacking. And so she already has the habit of her $35 a week of savings. She already has the habit of her $20 a week into KiwiSaver. And so she's actually got these beautiful habits already happening. So I think that's already a tick in the right box for her. We probably need it to get into some form of higher returning investment if she is putting it into the bank at the moment. But she can just simply amend that automatic payment for the amount she was paying to daycare. Hitting the ground running when the winds come, and we call them tailwinds. So, you know, for some of our clients with mortgages, it's been interest rates dropping. You know, for some of my clients with children turning five, it is the daycare win that they're no longer paying. Don't waste it. One other thing I want to say to her is put your big girl undies on, because you actually have no choice.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice because you can't work forever. She does have time. She can do this. It's just a case of getting the plan in place, setting up the systems, and just slowly but surely plotting her way towards where she needs to be.
100%. I do think what you said at the very beginning about the visualization, you can use it in both ways. Don't dwell on it, I think, but you want that beautiful goal that you're aiming for. And you want to also be realistic. If I don't do this, what's the alternative? When you're thinking about what you're aiming for, it's going to be so worth any changes that you make along the way, right?
Yeah. And it might get a bit hard. That's why I say, you know, like, buckle up, because you've got work to do and we have a shorter runway now and you've got more pressure on you. But unfortunately, you do need to land at the same place as everybody else with enough money and a place to live and enough money to live off. So there is no other alternative. So she talks about how to balance children or her daughter and work, because I think she knows she needs to earn more. And, you know, I always say to my clients, when you're trying to build a financial plan and get ahead faster, there are two levers you pull. You can earn more or you can spend less. Ultimately, we need to spend less than we earn. Boring, I know, deeply unsexy, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, you can sex it up any way you like, but
spend
less than you earn, you know. And so she does need to earn more. That is one of the levers she needs to pull. And she knows that. Personally, I balance work, full-time work with children. I have solo parented before. I know how she feels. Quality over quantity. You know, an hour of full focus on your child is worth 5 hours of distracted time. You know, so never feel bad, never carry guilt. We always carry guilt as a mother. But you can't carry that guilt, because I think your daughter watching you bossing it is going to really empower her, you know, to understand what she's capable of achieving too.
I often think that, because we always try and have dinner with the kids. And my husband and I work on this business together. And so sometimes we have business chat at the dinner table. Now, do I want that to be every night over dinner? No, because there are other things that happen in life. It's really important. But it also is very much top of mind that I want my kids to see us working hard. And I want them to see what can happen when you do work hard and how that works and what people are willing to put in and what you get back from that. That is, to me, also part of how I'm raising them. And part of how I am trying to educate them about the world. So I think it is okay for your kid to be part of that journey with you. And actually, not even just okay, it can be a really good thing.
Absolutely, get your kids involved. And when we talk about, we have these kind of five pillars of financial success, the fifth one is raising financially independent children. You know, money does not grow in trees, unfortunately. And so we need to teach them that. That's the cold, hard reality. You know, we live in a world where you do need to work hard. You know, you do need to do hard things. And we're capable of doing hard things. And the more hard things you do, the more resilience you build, mm-hmm. you know, both in yourself and your child. But involve your kids in many conversations, not to the point where, you know.
Don't stress them out. But
don't freak them out about it.
Yeah.
I think if you don't raise your children to be financially independent adults, they don't launch. They don't launch and they don't fly the coop. And what that means is that they end up putting pressure on you in retirement when you don't want to work anymore. So it can adversely affect your retirement if you don't educate your children financially.
100%. Oh, we covered so many topics there. Thank you
Didn't
so
we?
Much. Yeah. Shelley Parman from Enable Me. Thank you so much. Now, if you have a question, send them through. Obviously, we love ripping through these case studies to talk about what's possible in different situations. ask@francescook.co.nz. That's on the screen if you're watching the video. It's also in the description, so you don't have to worry about spelling or anything like that. Send those questions through. Let's talk about it. Don't forget to hit subscribe to Making Sense wherever you're listening. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.